gods and swine, then none of us were fit to receive holy things. And if that is the case, if everyone are like dogs and swine, how can you bring the holy things to anybody? There is one important difference though. There are two kinds of people. Even though both kinds partake of the same nature, yet there is also a big difference between the two. The one kind are the kind of people who know that we are like this, and they are sorry for it. They are grieved about it. Why am I like this? This is the kind of people that the Lord Jesus speaks about at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, who says the people who mourn, they mourn over sin. They know that they are evil, they are vicious, but they are sad about it, they are sorry about it. And because they mourn about this, they hunger and thirst for righteousness. They say, Lord, you are so right. I am like the dog, I am like the swine, but have mercy upon me. I want to hunger for righteousness and truth. My condition grieves me, O Lord. Have mercy upon me. But what is the other kind of person? The other kind of the person is the one who is exactly the same nature, but he's not ashamed of it. He is the kind of person the Bible speaks about that glories in his shame. Exactly as Paul speaks about, says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, they are glorious, they are shame. And their God is their belly, just like the dogs and the swine. Their God is their belly. Whoever throws them a piece of meat, they will follow that one. This is the kind of person who, therefore, is not only not repentant, he doesn't mourn, he even wants to boast about his sins. These are the kind of people who say no need to be born anew. But notice the other kind, they long to be changed. But this kind, they are very proud of their sins. Do you know how many girls I have conquered? They think that this establishes their manliness. I'm sure they don't succeed very well in competing with a dog. The dog can beat them any time. Are they ashamed of themselves? No, they are so proud of their dog-like nature. They are so proud also of their swine-like nature. When I was on the ship coming over from Hong Kong, going over from Hong Kong to Europe, there was this doctor on the ship that I may have mentioned to some of you before. And he boasted to me of his sins. He was actually proud of his sins. This is the other kind of nature. And this is the kind of person God is speaking, the Lord Jesus is speaking about here. When he speaks about the dog and the swine, he is speaking to the disciples who have already repented. They were also having this nature, but they have repented. They mourned for their sins. They were changed. But the other kind of person who glory in their shame and in their sin. The Lord Jesus says, of this kind of people, don't cast your pearls before them, don't give them the holy thing. Let us consider for a moment what the Lord Jesus means by holy thing and by pearl. By the principle of the parallel that I've already told you, you will see that pearl and holy thing, these two are illustrating each other. So that the pearl pictures to us what a holy thing is like. What does it tell us about what is holy? Let us consider the pearl. Now, all of you have seen pearls. A pearl, for one thing, is white in its purity. Pure. When you look at a pearl, doesn't it immediately strike you how pure it is, how white it is? Holiness is always expressed in its purity. It is the opposite of what is sinful and filthy. Now immediately you can see the opposite character of the swine and the dog that loves filth and the purity of the pearl. They stand as extreme opposites. What else do we see about the pearl? Well, everybody knows the pearl is round. And roundness expresses, of course, perfection, completeness. And that is just what holiness is. Holiness is perfection. It is completeness. What do we mean by perfection? And perfection means, when it comes to holiness, it means the completeness of our love and our dedication to God. When the Bible tells us that we must be perfect, it doesn't mean that we can be sinless in this life. But we saw that it meant perfect devotion to Him. And one thing we can be perfect, that my love to Him is 100%. What kind of a person is holy in the Bible? It is the kind of person who loves God with all his heart and soul and strength. And a person who loves God in this way, you can be sure he will not deliberately commit sin. And what else can we learn about the pearl? The third thing about the pearl we notice, and we all know, that the pearl comes, is developed through suffering. All of you know that a pearl comes when a bit of sand goes into the oyster. And the oyster, in its discomfort, secretes in its suffering the thing that covers the pearl, that covers the sand. So the pearl is actually the product of suffering. And we see that holiness too comes from suffering. That is the suffering that comes when we count the cost of discipleship.
So
The suffering that comes when we break with the world. And when we do this, when our loved ones oppose us, when they don't understand us, even when we walk in the path of righteousness and truth, when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, when we are ridiculed for the sake of the truth, when we have become disciples of Christ, there is always, brothers and sisters, a close connection between holiness and suffering.
So
those who have not suffered, you will often see that they know very little about holiness. But those who have suffered, they know what holiness is. The Apostle Peter has a very interesting statement. He says, those who have suffered have ceased from sin. They have become holy. If you have not suffered anything for Christ, maybe you still don't know very clearly in your experience the definition of holiness. But if you don't love God with all your heart and soul and strength, where you're always ready to compromise with the world, you'll never suffer anything. Nobody wants to persecute you. And if you think yourself fortunate because you haven't been persecuted, in fact, you are very unfortunate. That's why right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus says, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jump up and down with joy. Why should you have joy? Because you are on the path of holiness. Because you are in the company of the prophets. Every one of the prophets suffered. They were slandered, they were attacked, they were persecuted. Every prophet had that same treatment. Why? Because the prophets always spoke the truth. They did exactly what Paul told Timothy to do, to convince, to rebuke, to exhort. And the people who didn't love righteousness hated them. That's why the Bible says, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. And that is what else can we learn about the pearl? Consider this, the pearl is obtained through great danger. The pearl, of course, doesn't just come up and swim to your face. You have to go down, you have to dive down into the depths of the sea to get it. And the pearls in Israel were obtained to a great extent from the Persian Gulf and from the Red Sea. And from there, anyone who has been to those places, and I have been to the Red Sea, the place is full of sharks. The divers who go down for pearls risk their life every time they go down from being killed by sharks. When we passed through the Red Sea, some of the seamen decided to have some fun. They said to me, "Watch, we'll throw a few pieces of meat into the Red Sea and you watch what happens." And they throw a few big chunks of meat out into the sea. Within a few minutes, the place was swarming with sharks. Because of course they sensed, they smelled the blood. And so these sailors threw out the great meat hooks to try and catch a shark just for the fun of it. Well, needless to say, you can hardly catch a shark with a meat hook, but they tried for the fun of it anyway. They did actually hook the shark, but they couldn't pull it up because the meat hook was too sharp. It came free. Now you can see that these pearls had to be obtained and at great danger. What does that teach us about holiness? It teaches us again of the cost of discipleship. But it also makes me think of the Lord Jesus, who obtained for us righteousness, not only at the risk of his life, but actually at the cost of his life. And finally, notice this concerning the pearl. Pearls were enormously valuable. That's why the other day we saw in the parable how a man, in order to obtain a pearl, had to sell everything he had to get one pearl. Today, genuine pearls are still extremely expensive. Today you can get a lot of good cultured and imitation pearls. And these are good imitation, good cultured pearls is also very expensive. But big natural pearls are very hard to come by today. Why are they so valuable? Not only because they are so beautiful. Not only because it's so dangerous to get them. But because they are very, very rare. Holiness today is also very rare. There are lots and dogs and swine around the place. But not very many pearls. Holiness is hard to come by. And anyone who has tried to be holy will know how costly it is. Costly for the Lord Jesus to obtain it for us. Costly for us to keep it when we have got it. The world is always trying to take our holiness away, to rob away the holiness of Christ in our life. The world is ever, the Satan is ever trying to tempt us back into sin, either by the threats or by cunning temptation. And so we now begin to see what is holy and what is pearl and what is meant by the pearl. But is the pearl, is holiness precious to you? Is the gospel precious to you? How precious is it to you? Is it as precious to you that you have seen its value? And you have seen its value that it's worth everything you've got, like that merchant who sold everything to obtain that one pearl that we see in the Lord's parable? How come other people do not discern the value of that pearl, but that merchant discerned the value of the pearl? Can you see the value of the pearl? Can you see the preciousness of the gospel? The pearls here represent the holy things, and the holy things represent the gospel, because the gospel is the gospel of God given to us. It is from God, it is holy. And how do we know that it represents the gospel? And the holiness that God offers to us in the gospel? Well, if you understand the New Testament, you will understand the reason why. From the point of view of exposition, the Greek, the original word here is in the neuter. The holy, the word holy is in the neuter. So the situation is that the word gospel in the original, in the Greek, is also in the neuter. The result, of course, is there is this clear wordplay that is being used. The wordplay, it's a play on the word. To use the one to represent the other. To use the word holy to represent the gospel for this reason. And the reason, of course, is I have already said that the holiness, the only way we can have holiness is through the gospel of Christ. There is no other way. Now when we understand all this, the whole meaning of the Lord's teaching now should become very clear to us. What is the meaning now we can see? In plain words, the Lord Jesus is saying, don't take the gospel and throw it to those people who glory in their shame like the dogs. Don't take the precious pearls of the gospel and throw it to those people who love sin like the pigs. Why not? Because they don't appreciate the gospel. They regard the gospel as foolishness. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that and verse 14 that the carnal man does not accept the things of God. He regards them as foolishness. And not only they don't appreciate it, they turn upon you and attack you for trying to help them. So that not only are they not helped, they actually commit more sin. The question though is, how do you know whether a person is a dog or a swine in his character?
Huh?
Of course, the Lord Jesus is not saying don't preach the gospel to them, because unless you preach to them, you don't know whether they accept it or not. The gospel must be preached to everybody. But when a person has heard the gospel and he rejects the gospel, the Lord Jesus says, then don't keep pushing the gospel at him. Don't throw it at him. And that is how you can see the connection with this, with the next statement of the Lord Jesus that we will look at next week. Where the Lord Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. You don't ask, you don't receive. That's God's principle. That's why, why James says in his letter, you don't have because you didn't ask. And so we can see God's principle is this. He never takes the gospel and stuffs it down our throats. And we have, and the Lord Jesus says, you don't do it either. I haven't given you the right to do so. He shows you the gospel. He presents to you the gospel. And if you ask for it, you can have it. Preaching the gospel is like putting salvation in the shop window. Putting out the beautiful pearls for you to see. But if you want to obtain it, you have to go into the shop and ask for it. You have to obtain it by faith, as we saw on Friday. But God is not going to throw it at you. Now when a preacher or a Christian worker is not just presenting, showing the pearls, but actually taking the pearls and throwing it at a person, then he is misusing the gospel. How did that merchant find that pearl of great price? Well, he must have seen it somewhere. If he didn't see it, he couldn't find it. He didn't say he went and dug in the mud for it. It was somewhere displayed, and as he walked by, he looked at it and says, ah, that's a pearl of great price. And then he wants it. He asks for it. He pays the price to obtain it. So the Lord Jesus gives his disciples in this verse a very important principle in preaching the gospel. And a verse which, because so many Christians didn't understand it, they actually do great damage to the gospel. I have too often seen Christians trying to stuff the gospel down the unwilling throat of a non-Christian. And what is the result? The result is that person becomes even more opposed to the gospel. How many of us went to mission schools? Christian school. I went for many years to a Catholic school. And by the time I came out of the Catholic school, I must say I was the most anti-Christian person around. And that school put me off Christianity for years and years. I didn't want to hear about Christianity. I don't want to hear about religion.
That
Why? Because they try to stuff their religion down my throat. You see, this is the one thing that we must not do. Proclaim the gospel. By your word and by your life. More important by your life than by your word. Let the holiness of God be seen in your life. You are the shop window. Or to change the picture, as Paul says, you are the letter of the gospel written in words that people can see, a living word. And so people can see the gospel, and those who want it, who long for the holiness, for these precious pearls, they will come to you and say, what must I do that I may have these two? So whatever you do, brothers and sisters, understand the principle. Don't force the gospel down anyone's throat. The gospel is too precious. And when you throw the gospel at people, they think this thing has no value. You're throwing it in all directions. This is the reason why in our church, for example, we don't give out Bibles as a present, not even to those being baptized. It's a strange thing about human nature. What they get free, they think is cheap. Whatever you dish out to them, they say, well, I didn't have to buy this, it's not worth much. You give a Bible to the non-Christian, that may be a very nice, kind thing to do. Well, give him some scripture portion, maybe, that's fine. But whatever you do is don't throw the Bible. If he's very willing to have one, he's very desirous to have one, you say, well, I'll buy one for you. The best thing is let him go and buy his own Bible, and then it's very precious to him. I paid $5 for this Bible. So if anyone drops it there, he says, hey, get careful now. Look here, I paid for that. Human nature is very strange. I don't say everybody is like that, but unfortunately, very many people are like this. And so here we must conclude. And ask ourselves as it applies to us this question. If the principle is true that God turns away from those who reject the gospel, that God turns away from those who reject the gospel. And by the way, I should point out to you that this is a very scriptural principle. When Paul preached the gospel to the Jews and they rejected it, what did Paul say in Acts chapter 13 verses 46 and 51? He said to them in Acts 13:46-51, he said to them, because you consider yourselves unworthy of the gospel, look, I turn to the Gentiles. I'm not preaching to you anymore. I'll bring these pearls to the Gentiles.
他在保罗在使徒行传第十三章
第46节那里说，近的道先讲给你们，而是应当的，只因你们弃绝这道，断定自己不配得永生，我们就转向外邦人去。 You could also read verse 51.
chúng ta có thể thấy 51 chữ đó là nhân đối với trung nhân, thoái hạ, trượt xuống đất thần thủ, rồi vào những cõi liền đi rồi.
Do you see what did Paul do? They didn't want to hear the gospel. Did he say, "I'm going to preach and you, I'm going to preach to you. Just sit there and listen"?
So they said, "Paul, what did he do?
No, Paul doesn't do that. He says, "I turn away from you." And when he speaks about cleaning the dust off his feet, this is exactly what the Lord Jesus said. When you preach in one place and they reject you, then you go away from there. You go away and even shake the dust off your feet as a witness to them. The witness what? The point that from now on you have absolutely nothing to do with them, not even to have the dust of their town or village on your feet. That's very severe, isn't it? So remember the mercy on the one hand of God and the severity of to those who reject. But the meaning of this passage as it applies to us as Christians is this. These who completely rejected the gospel end up with absolutely nothing. Except to perish. But consider those who accept only in proportion, who accept in a limited and reserved sense. Do you not see that in the same sense, you cut yourself off from the priceless treasures of God's gospel? That is why some Christians are so poor spiritually. Let me tell you, in the kingdom of God, there will be very rich Christians and there will be very poor Christians. There will be Christians in the kingdom of God with multitudes of pearls. And there will be some Christians who manage to get saved only by the skin of their teeth, like a person running out of a burning house with absolutely nothing but the pyjamas he's standing in. That's of course exactly the picture that Paul is giving in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They are saved, but so as by fire. That is like somebody escaping out of a burning house. They are saved, but they got absolutely nothing. When you are in the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, what kind of a Christian are you going to be? You're going to be one of these beggarly Christians, or are you going to be one of these wealthy spiritual Christians? In the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, there are all kinds of different Christians. Ranging from those who have nothing to those who have riches. You store up riches on earth, what are you going to get when you are in the kingdom? If you let the swine nature and the pig nature in you control your Christian life, or dominate in any sense your Christian life, you're going to be a beggar of a Christian. You're going to be a beggar of a Christian in this life and a beggar in the next life spiritually. But if you are the kind of Christian who loves holiness and values the pearl, you are going to be a Christian who lives the abundant life, the wealthy spiritual life here and now. And then also in the kingdom of God, that is wisdom. Have you got treasure in heaven or not? What's the use of having riches on earth? You won't take with you one half penny, with you one half cent. You're going to leave everything behind, my friend. And on that day you will see, to have that treasure was the only one that counted. So brothers and sisters, we all have the pig nature and the swine nature. And for that reason, we must never be arrogant towards those other people who are sinners. When you look at other sinners, remember you too are a sinner. I am also a sinner, saved by grace. But for the grace of God, I am like any pig and any dog. I have no cause to boast over anything and anyone. And when I see those people who glory in their shame, my heart is just sad and sorry for them. I have no reason to feel proud in comparison to them. But the scripture tells me that if they reject the gospel, I have to turn sadly away from them. Perhaps the very fact of my turning away from them may cause them to turn back to Christ. So don't be wiser than the Lord Jesus. Don't think you know better than the Lord Jesus how to deal with the situation. Don't think that you are kinder than the Lord Jesus. When a person rejects the gospel, sadly but firmly turn away from him. But the very fact that you turn away from him may be the last chance for him to repent. Because that turning away from him may suddenly wake him up and said, hey, maybe that's exactly what I needed. Often the thing that was offered and is offered no more suddenly becomes precious. You learn that lesson when you deal with children. When you take some good food and you say it's good for you, eat it, and swallow it. Just all the more he doesn't want to eat it. You say you don't want to eat it? I'm taking it away. Hey, bring it back, bring it back. And you see, don't think you are smarter than Jesus or kinder than Jesus. That's the great mistake that so many Christians make. I've seen people turn to the Lord who didn't want to hear the gospel, who didn't seem to want to hear the gospel at first. But when I stop talking to them about the gospel, then they start inquiring. Let us then live in the wisdom of God. Now you can see that what seemed to be such a simple statement of the Lord Jesus has so much riches in it. The riches about how we can progress in the Christian life if we put away the swine nature and the dog nature in us. And then we can obtain these precious pearls. And the lesson in how we are to witness in giving on these pearls of life to others. Let us let God search our hearts to see if we have truly been transformed. Whether we are drawing nearer and nearer to God day by day in holiness.
跟父主喺圣洁里边嚟亲近主。
Let us be quiet before God in prayer.